The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good day, everyone, and welcome again to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address, coming to you live from the studios of WWDB AM 860 here in the Delaware Valley and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. We are very, very happy to welcome you to Boomer Generation Radio, a program our generation of baby boomers and what's happening to our generation and our families, issues that pertain to us and our families. And we're going to be discussing two very interesting and not necessarily unrelated topics today. And we're going to welcome pretty soon to our microphone. In fact, I hope she is there now, Michelle Lamas from DrugWatch.com. Michelle, are you there?
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hi. Welcome. How are things in Washington? You're in Washington, right?
Oh, actually, I'm in Florida. Sunny Florida.
It's the wrong thing to say this morning. Do us a real favor. Make everybody really angry.
It is gray out, though, if it makes anybody feel better. It's gray.
I bet you the temperature's above 12.
Yes, it is. It is 70s right now, actually.
Well, thank you very much, and have a wonderful day. We're going to be speaking with Michelle Lamas from DrugWatch.com right after I remind you about something that really does pertain to some of the things I think we're going to be talking about today. And this is really a message from our friends at Samaritan Healthcare, Samaritan Hospice over in southern New Jersey. They've asked me to remind you that if you're concerned about your parents' failing memory or your parents' safety at home and not sure where to turn for help, may we suggest that you give SeniorWise a call. SeniorWise Geriatric Care Managers. This is a tremendously important program. Their care managers can provide a comprehensive assessment and care plan. It can help keep your loved ones safe at home, screen and monitor in-home services, and help you avoid costly mistakes and ease your loved one's transition to a care facility if that becomes necessary. SeniorWise is a member of the Samaritan Family of Services. And to speak with a SeniorWise geriatric care manager today, we invite you to call them at 856-552-5166. That's 856-552-5166. Or you can log on to www.seniorwisecare.org. That's www.seniorwisecare.org. And again, the number, and mention Boomer Generation Radio on 856-552-5166. 552-5166. That's seniorwisecare.org from the Samaritan Family of Services. Michelle Lamas from DrugWatch.com. Again, welcome to Boomer Generation Radio. And we want to remind our listeners that if you want to chime in to give a suggestion or comment on one of our programs, the email address for the program is boomergenerationradio@gmail.com. That's boomergenerationradio@gmail.com. Michelle, again, welcome. And could you just explain to me and our audience what DrugWatch.com is and what does it do?
Sure, I'd be glad to. DrugWatch.com is a comprehensive resource about dangerous side effects and complications from commonly prescribed drugs and medical devices. So we kind of keep our ear to the news there and see what's going on with a lot of the drugs that are out today. And as you know, there are more and more every day. So we try to keep track of that. People usually have questions about what could happen with certain drugs, what the side effects are. And if that happens, it also kind of goes hand in hand with some legal questions sometimes that crop up. So we also help people understand that side of it.
So this is a resource, advice, clearinghouse, all of the above, resource. What is, exactly?
Yeah, we like to think of ourselves as a comprehensive resource. We try to put everything that is out there, make sense of some of the studies that are going on, things like that. So yeah, it's a website, and people can basically search for certain drugs and medical devices on there and see if anything has been recalled. What are the issues going on with those products?
So let's do this real fast at the beginning. How does somebody get in touch with you?
Oh, all right. Well, of course, we're on the web, drugwatch.com. You can check us there. We've got Facebook. If anybody wants to shout us, give us a shout out on Twitter, it's at drugwatch. And then we've got a phone number, 800-452-0949. And we've got patient advocates there. People just want to call and they have a question about a drug.
So one of the issues that confronts the baby boomers a lot, I know I walked through it with my mom. I was just doing a series of speeches and talks on baby boomers and aging for a congregation in Milwaukee this past weekend. And this subject came up again. We sometimes become medical managers of our parents, and they're involved with so many different drugs from different doctors. And so sometimes we find that the drug A doesn't necessarily get along with drug B. And you can help a family, correct, decide or talk to them about whether this prescription should be really with that prescription. Is that part of what you do?
Actually, no. We don't have doctors here, so we can't actually give anybody advice on what drugs to take. But we do have the resources to help them make the decision and open a dialogue with their care providers. So we're kind of a stepping stone for people to find out about the drugs, what they are, how they work, and what the concerns could be. And then, family members or patients can then talk to their doctors about the drugs.
So in other words, I could email you or call you and talk to one of your patient advocate or your advocates and say, my dad has been prescribed these three drugs. Do they necessarily get along with each other? Is that the way it works?
Yeah. Usually we deal with people that already have questions about a drug that might be problematic. But yeah, we do have an email set up for that. And that's information at drugwatch.com. So if people have a quick question, and we also have the Facebook. So people like to usually ask us questions on there, and then we help them and with whatever we can.
So what do you find? What are the most regularly asked questions that you seem to monitor on the site, either the call-in or the Facebook or the Twitter or whatever?
Well, usually we do get a lot of questions about joint replacements, which is, of course, not a drug, but it goes hand-in-hand, and a lot of older Americans are getting more joint replacements now, hip replacements, knee replacements. And there have been a lot of troubling products that have been released and to thousands of people. I think one of them that we've been dealing a lot with is the DePue ASR, and that is a hip replacement manufactured by Johnson & Johnson. And the type of hip replacement it is, it's called a metal-on-metal implant, which means all the pieces are made of metal. And what we're finding, and what a lot of doctors are finding also, is that when these metal parts rub together, when people are just walking, doing their regular activities, pieces of metal, like microscopic little metal particles, actually are released into the tissue. And that causes a lot of problems around the joints, causing them to fail. And, it can be actually even worse than the original problem that was happening. So we get a lot of questions about that. Of course, the common drugs that could be taken by older Americans, usually Lipitor, that controls the cholesterol, type 2 diabetes meds. And those are, I think, the ones that people take most. So we get a lot of questions about those. And there are definitely certain ones that are better than others as far as safety profile goes.
Did you get a rush of calls a couple of months ago when the government redid their requirements on statins?
Yeah, we definitely had some questions on that, and we wrote a news story about it because it's like, well, all right, before X number of people were being prescribed statins, and now it seems like they want to just put it in the water supply. They think it's so great. we would disagree, of course.
New flavor of water.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think it's really just about being aware nowadays. It's almost like you really have to be paying attention, especially if you have older parents, because I think you mentioned before with your mom, a lot of older Americans aren't necessarily paying attention to the number of drugs they're taking or what exactly all of them do. It's almost like, well, we go to the doctor. Doctors tell us, you know, okay, this is what you need to do. And most people follow the advice. So, you know, I think right now it's one-third of Americans, 57 to 85, they take at least five prescription drugs.
Say that again.
One-third of Americans, 57 to 85, age 57 to 85, they take at least five prescription drugs at a time. And that's on the low end. So then we're talking also the additional over-the-counter drugs that people take in addition to the prescriptions. And a lot of those are also causing some issues with the drugs and, you know, accidental overdoses and things of that nature.
So if I'm a caregiver to or working with my elderly parent, and give me a good practical advice. How do I begin to manage this, especially if mom or dad, you know, isn't necessarily forthcoming, or you say, well, let me go to the doctor with you and take notes, and they'll say, I'm fine. I don't need you to do that. I'm perfectly capable of listening. You know, what do you think I am? How does an adult child, you know, an adult, you know, person in their 50s or 60s who's caring or involved with their elderly parent, how do they begin to enter this conversation of trying to manage the drugs that that mom and dad are taking?
Yeah, see, you hit a very important point there. I think a lot of older Americans, when they're questioned about their health care, tend to have fears of, you know, losing their independence or just having people micromanage them, right, all the time. No one likes that. So it is definitely a very tricky thing to do. But having a friend or someone go along with them, maybe not necessarily you, but a friend to go help take notes and just to be a second ear at these doctor's appointments usually helps. And I think you mentioned earlier geriatric care managers.
Right, right, right.
A lot of people have definitely gone that route. And because it's a third party, not necessarily a child, you know, someone that is close to them, older people tend to maybe be a little bit more open to that idea because it's almost like a friend or something like that, as opposed to a child who might be maybe a little overzealous in asking them questions. But another thing, too, is that children can actually talk to the doctors. Now, of course, most doctors will not give the information because it's private, but
right.
With older Americans, there are actually certain forms that you can fill out ahead of time with your parent that will sort of allow you to talk directly to their care providers as opposed to asking them all the time.
Explain that to me, because that's something that people really need to know about. In other words,
yeah,
if I go,
I would
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go on.
There's a, what kind of form is this?
They're basically release forms. And now, depending on the doctor's office or the way the clinic or hospital works, the process might be different. But this is something that they can ask ahead of time. And before the doctor starts treating your parent or anything like that, you can get these release forms signed so that every time anything goes on, you can speak directly to the doctor about prescriptions or about the actual diagnosis or any of that. So if there is a release signed, then, you know, that's basically your parent giving you the permission to go ahead and talk to the doctor.
All right. That's really, really important information.
This is Michelle.
We were talking to Michelle Lamas, at drugwatch.com. And real fast, Michelle, again, before we take a quick break, if somebody needs to get a hold of you, wants to get a hold of you, what are the contact information? What's the contact information?
All right, our phone number at Drug Watch is 800-452-0949. People can talk to me or email me directly at mlamas@drugwatch.com. That's mlamas@drugwatch.com. That's my email. And, of course, online at drugwatch.com.
We're going to take a break now and remind you, really, some friends of ours at Boomer Generation Radio. They've been involved with us for several months, and that's the Hecht Investment Group of Janie Montgomery Scott. The Hecht Investment Group of Janie Montgomery Scott provides concierge financial consulting and planning services. Using a formal investment process as their foundation, clients receive frequent communication and rapid response to questions. As many of us know, there are no needs greater than our own when it comes to personal financial planning, and that's really essential as we ourselves age. The Hecht Investment Group provides experience, guidance, and an efficient management process that is important in today's environment. We urge you to contact the Hecht Investment Group toll-free at 855-289-2168. That's 855-289-2168. Please mention Boomer Generation Radio. Visit also Hecht Investment Group. You can on hechtinvestmentgroup.com. And the Hecht Investment Group is also on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and in Facebook. And once again, it's our pleasure to remind you that the Hecht Investment Group of Jenny Montgomery Scott has been recognized in Philadelphia Magazine and New Jersey Monthly as a 2013 five-star professional wealth manager. That's the Hecht Investment Group of Jenny Montgomery Scott. We're back with Michelle Lamas of DrugWatch.com. Michelle, what's, in your experience working with families, what are the drugs that are most abused? Are you seeing a rise in these issues of abuse of prescription drugs?
Yeah, generally, unfortunately, there is a rise in issues in boomers and seniors also particularly. And this is usually shocking news to most people who kind of think of drug problems as being something that younger people go through. But every year, millions of older adults use illegal drugs, as a matter of fact, every year, and they abuse prescription medications as well. And a lot of the reasons for this among older adults is different, obviously, than younger people. Boomers and seniors usually have to deal with a lot of, sadness or depression or anxiety with a lot of changes that are going on in their lives. They've lost loved ones, friends. And, you know, as medical issues start to pile up, that kind of causes a lot of anxiety. So the most common drugs abused are usually antidepressants like Klonopin, Valium, and Xanax, and also a lot of painkillers like Percocet and Vicodin. And, I mean, these are all things that come from the doctor. So it's not necessarily like they're going out to the street and, you know, buying any of these things. But when they're dealing with a lot of this physical and emotional pain, sometimes, you know, they will turn to these substances to help them out. And also it happens between family members, like certain seniors will probably just take a family member's pill without a prescription just because they think they need it or anything like that. And they don't really want to talk about it because, again, there's that sense of endangering their independence if they feel they've got a problem and they go talk to the kids or, a lot of them will just try and take care of it on their own. Also, another thing I want to say is it's obviously a large market, and drug companies know this. So, and nowhere in the world exactly, except New Zealand, is it legal for drug companies to market directly to consumers, except here in New Zealand, basically. So that kind of gives us a little bit more to deal with because people are seeing these ads for certain diseases which drug companies kind of push because they know you're going to ask your doctor about it. For instance, I think something that's going on a lot now is low testosterone or yeah. low T, as it's called. I mean, you can't turn on the TV or the radio without hearing ads for this. And, you know, people will go and say, okay, I'm feeling this way. I think I need this drug to help me out. And without knowing all the side effects or the risks involved. And doctors sometimes feel the pressure to go ahead and do what the patient wants. So, you know, and a lot of them also are not aware of some of the side effects of these things. So that's something that I would definitely urge people to look into, like just really do your homework on a lot of these drugs.
So with the legalization of medical marijuana in Colorado and Washington, I have to ask you that.
Sure.
I imagine you're getting some questions on drugwatch.com about the use of medical marijuana for various conditions. Has your organization like taken a position on this, or what are you seeing in the communication that you're getting?
Well, you know, we kind of try to stay out of the too heavily political things, and we like to put the information out there so people can make their own decisions. We don't like to tell people what to do necessarily,
mm-hmm.
But you're right about that. I mean, we have written a couple news stories about it, and they're always the most talked about and the most popular. And, you know, we do get a lot of questions on Facebook about it. And especially since in Florida, they just actually started doing this. So locally, it's a big thing, too. They're putting a bill out so that it'll be on the ballot in November here. So, you know, I think across the country, we're seeing people's interest really go up on the medical marijuana issue. And I think it's because the drugs that are being created now and sold are just, you know, they're saving lives, this is true, but they also come with a price tag of all these side effects. So people are turning to the medical marijuana issue saying, well, maybe this is a better alternative.
So there's a medical marijuana bill going to be voted on in the state of Florida this fall?
Well, that's what it seems like. You know, if everybody kind of finally says, well, all right, we can put it on the ballot. And it looks like it's going to be on the ballot.
There's going to be some very interesting community forums in Florida about that. I mean, that's going to be really that's fascinating. You mentioned before that you monitor a lot of the studies that are coming out on. Could you just walk us through some of the what are you seeing about these studies, and especially if they're not financed by drug companies, that they're perhaps independent studies about the misuse or use of prescription medications?
Well, obviously, the side effects and things like that are the biggest thing that sort of gets downplayed when a drug company releases a study for their own drug, which happens often. And what a lot of people also don't know is that the FDA is largely funded by drug companies. So when they're approving some of these drugs, you know, and of course, I don't know this for a fact, but there seems to be a lot of leeway that drug companies get to pass their products out there without proper testing, for instance.
What do you mean by leeway?
Well, when they pay their fees, their user fees, which is what they actually do to the FDA, and this is what funds the FDA, the FDA sort of lets them fast-track drugs, and in the case of medical devices, you don't actually have to have your medical device tested before you release it on the market, and this is a fact. They basically just have to say that there is another device that was already released similar to this device, and then they get to go ahead and sell it to the public.
Hmm. Is it more difficult then to get a drug or a device cleared than, let's say, in Europe? Because I know people.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. The European Medicines Association, the EMA, they've got different rules for the drugs there. And like I said before, also here, drug companies are allowed to advertise directly to the public, where over there they're not. So it kind of changes a lot of the problems that people have with some of these devices. Like the testosterone thing I mentioned, for instance, there are less problems in the UK. And this was a recent study that came out. And they basically said it was because people could see these ads on TV here and more mistakes were being made with the prescription where people didn't really need it, but the doctors were giving it to them anyway simply because they were coming in and asking about it. So it kind of, you know, they actually get tested in Europe for some of these things, whereas here, you know, it might be a little less stringent, I suppose, for people to get some of the drugs.
So I think there's a popular perception, and I may be very naive on this and wouldn't be the first time, but if there's a popular perception that when a drug comes on board here, comes online and is for sale to the public in the United States, that it's undergone years and years and years of very rigorous testing and blind studies and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are you saying that's not always the case?
Nope, that is not always the case. And as a matter of fact, I've talked to some doctors and a lot of other experts that say that a problem with the clinical trials also specifically affects older adults, because when they test these drugs, they actually pick a baseline of participants. And they're usually younger, and they're going to pick people that don't have any pre-existing conditions, any of that sort of thing. They're picking a perfect patient, essentially, to go into these clinical trials. And as we both know, older adults usually will have other health issues that are going on, or you know, they might not be tip-top shape when they're going and taking these drugs. So the safety, you know, information that comes out is a little skewed for older adults, at least.
Wow. So and so in other words, drugwatch.com, your organization, can be helpful to a family to try to get some information about what is correct and what is not correct, and what has been tested correctly and what may not have been tested. And is that a good assumption, or am I way off?
Oh, yes. No, you're right. We do that. Of course, there are tons and tons of drugs. So we do what we can. And when we see ones that are especially problematic, those are the ones that we focus on, the most dangerous ones that are coming out there. You mentioned, too, that people assume that drugs have been tested for years and years. Let's take Tylenol. Okay, Tylenol is a popular over-the-counter drug that's been around for years. I mean, literally about 50 years, I think, it's been on the market. Well, just now they're releasing information about the fact that it's the number one cause of acute liver failure in the country. And this happens because people will take Tylenol and they don't know that it's in a bunch of different products.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get the flu, for instance, and you're going to take, you know, Tylenol flu, and then you're going to take Tylenol, extra strength Tylenol,
right,
for maybe your headaches, right? So this is something then that is a big deal. It's people are overdosing on this stuff without even knowing.
So we have been talking with Michelle Lamas of drugwatch.com. And before we have to leave you, Michelle, real fast, before we have to take a break, give us the contact information again. You've given us a lot of information, and somebody
sure,
wants
it's,
to get
it's
in
a
touch
lot.
With you.
It's a lot.
Go ahead.
So, and I can, the website again is drugwatch.com. And on there you can find the list of a lot of these drugs that I've talked about, latest news, things like that. Also, our phone number is 800-452-0949. If anybody's taken, you know, any of these dangerous drugs and they're worried about it, give us a call. We can answer your questions.
Thank you very much. This has been the first segment of Boomer Generation Radio today with Michelle Lamas of drugwatch.com. And that number again is 800-452-0949. And you can, again, Michelle, before you hang up, the email to get you again is what?
It is mllamas@drugwatch.com, mlamas@drugwatch.com.
Michelle Lamas of drugwatch.com. Thank you very much, Michelle. It's great information, and we look forward to speaking with you again. Good luck with everything. Have fun in Florida today.
I will. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Take care. That was Michelle Lamas from drugwatch.com. And before we move into our Kendall segment of Boomer Generation Radio, I want to remind you of another good friend of the show's 50andbeyond.com. 50andbeyond.com is a content-based website for the baby boomer and senior populations. This comprehensive website covers a wide range of topics, including health and wellness, financial and legal, senior services, leisure and lifestyle issues, as well as real estate and design services. And you can find fascinating stories on the local, national, or global stage that really impact our generation. 50andbeyond.com is committed to connecting you with the most highly qualified and respected professionals in the greater Philadelphia and South Jersey region. And once you are on 50andbeyond.com, be sure to sign up for their informative newsletter. You can also check out their community calendar for special events in the greater South Jersey and Philadelphia region. And 50andbeyond.com also offers a free Ask the Expert page where you can ask your own personal questions on an array of topics and getting your answers straight from those experts. Hate sitting and reading off a computer screen, as some of us do? Don't worry. 50andbeyond.com has you covered. Paired with the website, 50andbeyond.com also produces a free bi-monthly printed magazine. This magazine is distributed to over 200 area locations, and the magazine is perfect for active adults on the go. You can find this magazine at your local supermarket, library, doctor's office, and many other local businesses. And if you can't get a copy, you can download it directly from 50andbeyond.com or get a copy sent straight to you by emailing info, that's info, I-N-F-O, at 50andbeyond.com. 50andbeyond.com simplifies the lives of baby boomers and seniors, so log on today and find that information that matters to you. That's 50andbeyond.com.
She's on.
Welcome back to Boomer Generation Radio, and this portion of Boomer Generation Radio is brought to you by Kendall, a not-for-profit system of communities and services located in 8 states in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and near Midwest regions of the United States. Kendall advocates for and empowers older adults to reach their full potential and is committed to working with others to together transform the experience of aging. And to learn more about Kendall, that's K-E-N-D-A-L, we invite you to visit Kendall.org or call them toll-free at 888-759-0128. That's 888-759-0128. And we welcome you to the Kendall portion of Boomer Generation Radio here on WWDB AM 860, streaming live on WWDBAM.com. And again, if you wish to contact the show with suggestions or ideas, BoomerGenerationRadio@gmail.com. And we hope on the line now is Peggy Brick. Peggy, you're there?
I'm right here.
Oh, great. We're always happy. Thank you, Tony, our producer, the magic of technology that Tony knows very, very well, much more than I. Anyway, Peggy, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us here. I appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we want to talk about our first half hour, talked a little bit about drugs, actually a lot about drugs. And so now our Kendall portion of Boomer Generation Radio is going to focus in on issues dealing with sexuality and older adults. And I guess the first obvious question is, what led you to become involved as an advocate for sexuality and aging?
Well, that's easy. I had worked for about 30 years as a sexuality educator, first as a high school teacher, and then as director of education of a Planned Parenthood, where I taught teachers about working with adolescents. So when I retired at 70, that's 15 years ago, I decided that I would focus on older adults. And I've been having a wonderful time doing that ever since. I discovered how much people, say 40 and up, needed sex education. And that was sort of a new thought. People assumed that the boomers had plenty of sex and knew all about it. And in fact, as people get older, everything changes, and they really need a new look at sexuality and especially intimacy.
So I'm very happy that you're joining us, and this is an area I've actually published an article on this in a while ago on older adult sexuality, and I found it fascinating that it is one of the remaining taboo subjects.
Yes, it is. But, you know, as I've been teaching it, and I started off in my hometown, men's clubs, various churches, women's groups, people were so eager to be learning. And the questions that came to me revealed the real sadness people have because of all the old expectations. You know, we learn to be sexual when we're adolescents, and as we get older, things change in so many ways. And so our old scripts, what we learned about what to do and what not to do and what works, no longer works. So after I'd been teaching a while, I worked with SICUS, which is the Sexuality Information Education Council of the United States, to develop a teaching manual for educators to use with older people. And we called it New Expectations. And that's it. The people need a whole new way of looking. A few years later, after I taught a great deal more and gotten more questions and more concerns from adults, I did get a new book, Skill to Teach educators how to teach older adults, and we called it older, wiser, sexually smarter. And the fact is that the older you get, the smarter you need to be about sexuality and thinking about it in new ways. I wonder if you'd like to hear some of the questions that people ask.
Well, just give me one, because I have a bunch of questions that I got to ask.
Oh, all right. Well, I start off with one of the most frequent ones. How do you overcome strict religious do's and don'ts? And they so limit people, even as they're growing older, they haven't escaped those. So that's a powerful one. But you go ahead with your questions.
Well, this actually can kind of follow up on this. There was a big op-ed in the New York Times last month, in January, by Dr. Emanuel at the University of Pennsylvania. And the title of that op-ed was called Sex and the Single Senior.
Mm.
And it was a really, really eye-opening op-ed that talked about the rise in sexually transmitted diseases amongst older adults who are practicing unsafe sex.
Mm-hmm.
And in your teaching this, how do you deal with this?
I mean, well, you deal with it like you always do. You teach people about the possible dangers. But you know, just like it was with adolescents, people always look at the dangers of sex rather than the problems people have in simply relating and communicating with each other. So people often think that sex ed is simply prevention education, and I don't see it that way. I see that as one part of sexuality education. But the major problems I see are people's inability to communicate, and that, of course, is part of the problem in terms of safer sex issues, is that we haven't learned how to talk about sex with a partner. And that's not just about safer sex issues, about the need to use a condom, about finding out the background of your partner. But it's also about transmitting to a partner what you like and don't like, what feels good and what doesn't feel good. So one of the focuses, I think, for sex ed has to be this communication, which is why I love a class, because even though there are some great books out there and I can recommend those, what we learn in the classes is how to talk. And I'll put people in small groups, and at the end of a session in a small group where they're talking and maybe laughing about what they didn't learn from their parents, they're amazed that for the first time, perhaps, they've really talked openly about sexuality.
So this linkage, which seems to be quite, you know, intuitive, but really, like as you're mentioning, this is really not recognized too much. This link between sexuality and communication seems to be really key. And I was wondering if I understand you teach or have taught a course called Sexual Intelligence. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I finally called it that because there's an excellent book by a sex therapist, Marty Klein. And after many years as a sex therapist, he devised this idea that people need to be sexually intelligent. And his subtitle is What We Really Want from Sex and How to Get It. And his idea is that so much of what goes on is a performance attitude, somehow proving yourself rather than learning to really enjoy yourself and understanding your own body and how it may be changing. So to be sexually intelligent, in some ways you have to unlearn a lot of the old assumptions and get a whole new perspective on how to relate. You know, I can remember one of my high school students came back to me a couple of years after he'd been in college, and he said, you know, Mrs. Brick, I've had a lot of sex to escape being intimate. And so there's this difference between just young sex and what goes on there compared to really relating to another person and paying attention to them and their responses.
I'm wondering, you know, in the first half hour, we talked to this woman about drug interactions and stuff like that. And as we get older, more and more of us are dealing with various medications that have impact. And then there's Viagra and the other. How do you teach individuals as we age that to monitor or to deal with the various drugs and side effects that may or may not, that will impact sexual activity?
Mm-hmm. Well, you simply need to talk about and urge people to talk with their physicians. Now, unfortunately, most physicians have not had much of a sexuality education, and that's one thing we also work on. Several years ago, I created a consortium on sexuality and aging. And one of our hopes is to do more to encourage physicians to talk with their patients. This is so important because, in fact, people who take Viagra or Cialis or Levitra, the different drugs for erectile problems, need to check with their physicians about the consequences in terms of other drugs they're taking. The other interesting thing about that, although these are marketed big, very many of the men who use them do not come back and reorder their prescription. That's because the erection isn't the whole problem. So much of the problem is other issues that nobody's selling them, and that's why we're trying to encourage better education.
What's the linkage, Peggy, between psychological issues, stress, and sexual performance, especially as we age?
Well, I think there are a lot of issues. For example, the attitude that sex is for the young, which gets reinforced over and over in the media. I mean, if you look at the media and see the images of older people, older men, somewhat dignified. Older women tend to be not very attractive and not very sexual, although sometimes, occasionally, they're sort of silly, almost silly if they're looking sexy and they're older. So we have to overcome all that. We've learned a lot with Shades of Grey, how popular that was. I have to confess, I simply couldn't read. I tried it 3 times. The writing was so poor. But you know what? For a lot of people, that probably was a real turn-on and an educational book. I did hear from a friend, though, who said that some of her friends read it and loved it, but they didn't want to tell their husbands because they were afraid their husbands would expect too much. So here it is, a lack of communication again. You know, my classes, I always start with anonymous questions, and that's how I learn what's on people's mind and what their concerns are. And one of the questions I got was, what about, these are anonymous, what about the men in this class whose wives don't know they're taking it? I found that so sad. I had a person in my class, I saw a concert, and he pulled me aside. He was there with his wife, and he said, don't let my wife know that I'm in the class. So here we have people unable to really share their concerns about sex.
Communication, communication, communication seems to be. We're talking with Peggy Brick here on Boomer Generation Radio on the Kendall segment of Boomer Generation. And again, a reminder that this portion of Boomer Generation Radio is brought to you by Kendall, a not-for-profit system of communities and services located in 8 states in the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, and the near Midwest regions of the United States. And a reminder that Kendall advocates for and empowers older adults to reach their full potential and is committed to working with others to together transform the experience of aging. And to learn more about Kendall, which is K-E-N-D-A-L, we invite you to visit kendall.org, K-E-N-D-A-L.org, or call toll-free at 888-759-0128. That's 888-759-0128. 7590128. Back with Peggy Brick, discussing some of their rather myriad of concerns and issues dealing with sexuality and older adults. Peggy, I got to ask you a question because this comes up in some of the, when I go out and we allude to some of this in some of the workshops, and from the sound of it, it sounds like you've dealt with this a lot. That is this perception of a word that I love and you've used called intimacy. Mm-hmm. And the need as we age for this real sense of connection and relationships, mm-hmm. and intimacy. And it doesn't necessarily, or does it necessarily mean full sexual intercourse? Mm. The concept of sexuality, is it to be more broadened in the sense of just touching and human contact and being with, mm-hmm. another person?
Absolutely, which is one reason why I am such an advocate for continuing care communities where people really connect with each other, whether they have a partner or whether they just get to know many people, and the affection that develops as people move into a continuing care community. I see people who come in who maybe lost a partner, they come in as an individual, and soon they have a whole community of friends. And so my idea of intimacy is that you have people who are caring for you, who connect with you, and I see that so much here. That's another part of my agenda as a sex educator, is to try and help staff at a place such as Kendall or other long-term care facilities understand that people are still sexual in terms of needing, as you say, the touching, the caring, that somebody is really paying attention to you. I've done training for staff, and I've also done training here for residents. And, you know, let me give you an example. When I did this training, I had a couple come where he had quite severe Parkinson's. He was now up in the nursing area of our facility. And afterwards, the wife said she had the courage to ask staff if they could have a larger bed so he could have and she could be with him after lunch just for a snuggle. And this was not been, we're not talking about intercourse, but we're talking with connection. And she said how different he felt because they could have that snuggle after lunch every day. You know, for weeks, when I saw her in the hall, she would thank me again for this simple course that I guess what it is permission giving. And that's one thing that older people, especially as they get past 60 into their 70s, they need to permission to still be sexual. It may not be having intercourse. And in fact, oral sex, masturbation may be part of the new agenda for some of them.
The research that I've looked at also indicates, and I'd like you to comment on this, that When people enter an assisted living facility or CCRC, continuing care, retirement community, like those communities of Kendall, that there actually are paragraphs in agreements when you enter that guarantee sexual privacy, this is understand that this is part of who you are as part of humanity, and there's no need to check it at the door when you move in. Is that correct?
Well, that's the ideal. I will tell you that very many of the long-term care facilities don't have a clear policy. I was happy to help Kendall develop ours, and every place needs one, because some of the saddest stories we have are situations where, for example, children come in and don't understand a new relationship that their parents may have that have powerful meaning to them. They're not having intercourse, but they've got a relationship, and the children sometimes discount that. Let me just read you a little bit about this policy we developed. Kendall Longworth supports the rights of residents for sexual expression, being mindful that safety and promotion of physical and emotional health is of utmost importance. Residents have the right of access to private space in support of sexual expression and preservation of dignity. Now, as people become demented, there's always the issue of ability to say yes or say no, and that's a balance that educated staff will make. There needs to be a process to help them decide. And unless they're educated, staff may be more inclined to deny the sexuality in favor of what they would call safety. So it's a matter of educating staff. I find that young staff especially may have trouble understanding because this is somebody the age of their grandparent, whereas older staff tend to be more understanding of the intimacy needs of their patients.
You know, you mentioned in that paragraph that you read something, this linkage, and I'd like you to comment on this, the sexuality equals dignity, human dignity. Could you just comment on that really quickly?
Well, I do think that absolutely it's part of who we are. And one of the dangers as people get older is loneliness. It's one reason why I feel sad whenever I hear the promotion of stay home where you want to be. As people live alone, they get more and more lonely. They can't get out. And the advantage of being in a long-term care facility, such as Kendall, is you can continue to have warm relationships that really, it's essential to being a human being, is to be connecting with other people.
Yeah, I just had the experience last week to do a program at Jewish Home and Healthcare in Milwaukee with the residents. And we had this very interesting conversation. In fact, I put it on my website, jewishsacredaging.com. I was struck with this conversation with about two dozen residents last week, exactly on this issue. Their love of the community, they were all independent. They were living basically independently, but they knew that at their stage of life, they needed to be in community because that was a guarantee of the ongoing and importance and power of relationships and the relationships building of that community.
Absolutely. The longer I'm here, the more I appreciate it. Because, for example, if one partner becomes demented, the other can continue to live independently, still visit and support and do things, but not have the awesome responsibility of full-time care, which really means they can maintain their connection in a much healthier way than if they're doing the daily caregiving. You know, I would really like to advocate a book. Is that okay?
Go for it.
It's wonderful. It's called Naked at Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex. Naked at Our Age. And this woman addresses in the book all the issues that arise for older people, not just people here. I would say this is critical information at about 40 and up, when menopause hits women, and many women will have problem there, where men may have their first issue of a non-working penis. And this book deals with everything, having experts give advice. And so that's big help for somebody who can't get to a class somewhere.
You know, you have to remember the author.
Yes, that's Joan Price.
P-R-I-C-E.
P-R-I-C-E, yes.
All right, we have about 2 minutes left in our Kendall segment with Peggy Brick here. And you've opened up, obviously, a lot of things to talk about. One real quick final question, a little bit off the wall, but not really. In your experience, and when you teach these classes, what is the value or the use of, let's say, AIDS, pornography, or other sex toys with people?
I think all are very useful for some people, not for others. I will say that porn is useful for turning some people on. It's not useful for modeling your own sexuality and your own sexual behavior, because a lot of the activities that go on in porn aren't possible for those of us with arthritis.
Or anybody else, for that.
Well, that's true.
So I've heard.
The other thing we haven't mentioned is I think the most important thing for people to learn is that sexuality is fun, that we're taking too serious. And if I start always classes with jokes, and once you laugh at yourself, you get a little perspective on what sex is going to be like as you grow older.
Peggy Brick, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the Kendall segment of Boomer Generation Radio. I'm going to ask you to, I'd love to have you back a little bit later on and really encourage and expand some of these issues, if that's okay with you. We'll be back in touch. And I want to thank you very much for being with us here, and continued good luck with teaching and this linkage between communication and intimacy, sexuality, and dignity, no matter what age we are. Peggy, thank you very much. To all of you, we'll see you next week. Have a great week on Boomer Generation Radio. And again, if you want to contact us, boomergenerationradio@gmail.com. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you for listening.